The internet has given everyone in America a voice, and evidently everyone in America has chosen to use that voice to bitch about movies.
This is a site populated by militant movie buffs. Sad, pathetic little bastards living in their parents' basement, downloading scripts and what they think is inside information about movies and actors they claim to despise and can't stop discussing.
Hey everybody, this is episode 6 of PDF Screenplays podcast. This is Adam, and tonight, as always, I'm with JC.
Hello.
Yeah, it's customary to say hello when you're introduced.
I was reaching for my beer.
Oh, okay. And back with us tonight is a good friend, Chris.
What's up, world?
Yes, what is up, world? So we're going to be talking a couple of screenplays tonight, as per usual. First one, Balls Out, which kind of taken the underground screenplay. I don't know. Is it taking it by storm? I don't know.
Are there storms in underground screenplays?
There are storms. There are small systems.
Are there more like just kind of a monsoon that just kind of lasts for a long time?
Yes. It's a tsunami.
Not really. I think it's almost over now. Seems like in the,
that took a week.
Yeah, it seems like in the script world, it's hot for a minute, and then it's done.
Well, is it really hot? I mean,
it was kind of hot. I mean, it was posted on every forum everywhere, which, good job, Tim Talbot. You freaking...
Yeah, the Artful Writer mentioned it, so...
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, sometime around the end of March, the beginning of April, a website created by the quote-unquote Robotard 8000 posted a screenplay, and it was called Balls Out, which don't confuse that with the Balls Out something-something story.
The Gary Houseman story, I think?
Yeah, it was on the Blacklist a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Different screenplay. Its premises that is just too wild to take to normal outlets and agents. So this
apparently the agents just told them no after they read it.
Oh, they just straight up said no?
Apparently there's a first draft somewhere, and they tried giving it to the agents. Agents told them to tone it down a bit. So then the draft that you can find online everywhere is the actual toned down draft. So I can only imagine how good the actual first draft. The only thing the Robotard 8000 has said about it is that it's angrier.
Yeah. And so, okay, so the Robotard 8000.
I really think we should say it full.
The Robotard 8000.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like this alias of what we assume and what we think is a professional screenwriting, a screenwriting team, just trying to either build some sort of...
You know what makes me mad about all of it?
What?
Is that...
What does anything about this make you mad? This is something... This is great.
No, it's just a personal thing, because when it came out, I've done nothing but try and figure out who's behind it. And I post on forums everywhere, and I think I figured it out, but it seems like every forum I go to, and I'm like talking about it, and I give links to somewhere saying, oh, look, this is shining evidence on it. I think this person's behind it. And the next thing will be like vagina, or it'll be like, Robotard, will you be my daddy? Or it'll be like, Robotard, will you come fuck my mom while me and my dad give each other hand jobs? And it's just stupid shit like that.
That was your diary.
It might
have. It sounds like a pretty standard response to me. I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But I like, this is something you really don't see with screenplays. This, like, put it on the internet.
It's viral.
Thank you. That's, wow. Why is that word not what I used 5 minutes ago?
I don't know.
Let's talk about the screenplay itself. Balls Out. It's about a guy named Jim. It is intentionally a basic story with the basic premise, but just everything on steroids.
Correct.
Jim hates his job, hates his car, wants a woman, and he essentially dies in the first 20 pages, so he gets to come back and he doesn't care about anything, so he quote unquote just goes balls out. And it is very, very, Well, it would easily get NC-17.
I think so.
And I loved it. It doesn't care. It makes fun of
everything.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the whole thing about it.
That's the point.
Yeah, it's to set out and make fun of every romantic comedy.
Romantic? Yeah, okay. I guess. Yeah, I'd say. And it just...
And make fun of screenplays in general.
Yeah, it just makes fun of the whole Hollywood screenplay, you know, process. And, yeah, it's just really refreshing to read. What'd you think of it, Chris?
Oh, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. When I was reading it, it sounds really weird to think of, but it kind of reminded me of Douglas Adams somehow. Like, it was kind of in that witty sense of humor kind of way where you just kind of, you make fun of everything, you know, like it's just a weird, quirky world, you know, and this is like an actual movie that's taking place in that world. You know, it was kind of like if Douglas Adams got really drunk and wrote a screenplay, you know, or something.
I can see what you say, because Douglas Adams didn't really write with rules. He always kind of went out of the way to address the reader or something like that. And I tell you what, that's the strong point from Balls Out, is the action and how it is written. I mean, from the very first words, fade the fuck in, to fade the fuck out, it addresses the reader, and it's some of the best action I've ever read.
Yeah, it's totally against all screenplay rules, but it makes for a lot more enjoyable read.
Well, I think it's the whole point. I think when you're going to be on the internet and stuff like that, you're just like, fuck it. Just make it as entertaining as possible, because this is the only medium it's ever probably going to be shown or presented.
Well, I like it better anyway. I mean, it's not like it's a play. It's a screenplay, and no matter what, unless whoever's behind it is going to direct it, it's not, the director's going to take it and make it what he is. So I like reading screenplays where the action actually comes out and talks to the reader. And especially when it's funny like this. I mean, this does have some of the best action from a strictly reading standpoint. I mean,
yeah. What'd you think of the little part near the end with Tom Cruise? I'll start with you, JC, then I'll ask Chris.
I loved it. And they even set up for it a little earlier, so it all came back around. Makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
If he would have just appeared, I wouldn't have liked it. But the way they set it up with the TV earlier, I loved it.
What'd you think of Tom Cruise?
Oh, it was absolutely brilliant. Unfortunately, it was another one of those things where it kind of sealed that this movie would never, ever, ever get done. You know, so if Tom Cruise ever sees this, you know, and actually does read it, I don't see that ever happening. I did have a question for you guys about this, though.
Yeah.
Is this, JC, in all of your research that you did on who wrote this script, did you ever see any sort of link to the Apatow guys or anyone in that realm that this was written by?
Nope.
No, not at all?
There is a guy named Tim Talbot who comments on everything related to this, and he worked on some of the best episodes of South Park in season 5 and 6, and I'm pretty sure he's got something behind it. He comments on the Facebook and everything. And then I think Derek Haas is behind it. There's a video on Facebook of a girl, and she holds up a sign, and it mentions Derek Haas and Brandt, and Haas and Brandt are a writing duo. And according to the Robotarts page, it's written by two people or more. So, I mean, there's, the sky's the limit. And on their blog, they did post a picture of Derek Haas, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the Robotard 8000 blog. It's just a big old portrait of
Derek Haas. Yeah.
And I think between the three of them, you know, a combination of the three wrote it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, just looking at what Haas and Brandt have done together, it totally makes sense that they would...
Very commercial screenplays.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
This could actually kind of damage their image
for
people who don't get it. Because this isn't being crude for crude's sake. This is more just being that because they're tired of the notes in Hollywood. They try to tone that stuff down. The role of the hulking retard of his friend's son is something that would get cut out in the first draft of anything.
Yeah.
So not only make him retarded, make him somebody who the father has to beat up every night, and then who is apparently training to kill the father.
Well, he's got retard strength.
He's got
superhuman retard strength.
Yeah, superhuman retard strength, who stands on the roof and howls at the moon, but instead of howling, just says moon because he's so retarded.
The only reason that I ask about the Apatow thing is just because when I was reading it, and actually I read this thing twice because it was just that fucking funny.
I read it twice,
because
too.
There's so many great lines in there, you know, and it's the same thing like when you watch a movie the first time, you know, you catch a lot of funny lines and you go back and watch again, you see more and more. But anyway, when I was reading it, the Jim character, I thought could easily be Will Ferrell, and then the Larry character could definitely be the guy, what's his name? He's on Eastbound and Down, the new series on HBO with Will Ferrell, and he's a pitcher or whatever. He was the other guy that Will Ferrell always cast in his movies. Not John C. Reilly, but the other guy.
The only reason I bring John C. Reilly up is because in the talkbacks on the Robotard 8000's website, someone mentions John C. Reilly, and the Robotard goes out of his way to saying that's actually genius for Larry. But who is the other guy? I do not know on Will Ferrell's.
Danny something?
Oh, okay. I know who you're talking about. He is in the Pineapple Express.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
he plays Red.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays that guy. That guy I saw for Larry because he talks about his 12-foot cock or whatever, you know, that he has. And it seems like these man-child kind of characters, you know, that are in every single Apatow movie.
I can understand where you're coming from with that. I think there's...
I don't want to see that happen. I mean, get made.
You know what?
I don't think this has enough heart to be an Apatow movie.
I was going to say, there's no sweetness to temper the absolute just down and dirty depravity.
Do you have a favorite part of the script, Chris?
Cool.
Like a high and above favorite?
It has to be that moment where... where he does the guns to Jim or to that asshole guy who has the beamer.
His boss.
He does the guns and fuck right I did.
Chris, did you not realize, and no one but you and I are going to understand this, did you not understand that his boss name was Blake Henderson?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
But when he dropped
But I also
kicks.
Noticed there's a Rob Corddry name.
Yeah, I think that's too. Pretty much... Who are we going to cast here? Well, we'll just put his fucking name in.
He's the father of the retard kid, though, right?
Yes, yeah. Rob Corddry. But so your favorite part was when he kicks all the insurance forms and says, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, when he drop kicks the papers all over the guy's office and does the gunpoint at him and says, fuck yeah, I did.
JC, that's your favorite part, isn't it?
No.
Oh, it's not?
No.
What's your favorite part?
My favorite part is a line of action where he takes a stick of butter and jams it in strawberry quick. And in the action, all it says is he takes the butter, jams it in the strawberry quick, and starts eating it, and that shit is good.
So unnecessary in the action, but it says everything. I'd say my favorite part is the whole scene where he and the dog start to fight.
Yeah.
Oh,
not just start.
Yeah, the whole battle scene. I like when he walks into the neighbor's house and it's all these pictures of his dog fucking other dogs. And it's like, why would...
The dog's name was great. David Hogue.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know, but it just sounds like it would be a gay guy's
dog. That's got to be a reference that I'm missing, right?
I don't know.
No, I Googled that shit.
You did? Oh, good boy. Because I thought about it. But yeah, I love that screenplay.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's almost an in-joke of people who... write and read screenplays and understand the methodical way you have to write this, and this is just a big fuck you to that whole thing, and it's just kind of a parody, but it's still really well written. And the only way it's going to get made is if someone just says fuck it
and rapes it.
No, not like a professional person, just somebody just takes it,
an indie,
it just makes it and just like doesn't even ask the Robotard, just makes it. Gets
I was thinking about that. Someone should just YouTube
just
series it.
Yeah, just grab a handy cam and start. Because how hard, really? I mean, there's the helicopter shot, so that might be a little
difficult.
That's
kind of big.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Crashing the car.
Yeah, the more I think about it. We could do all that in post.
But there is another reason that a lot of people won't like this, and that's just because... the sense of humor in it. It's not everyone's cup of tea at all.
No, the Baptists aren't going to like this. No. They're just not feeling that.
You're going to narrow it down to one religion? I mean, I thought it was kind of global, but none of...
Okay, people with decency aren't going to like this.
Morals.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah. Oh, that's those things I don't have. Okay. Yeah. But if you get the joke, then it's supposed to be that way. It's not crude in the Freddy Got Fingered way because it just doesn't know what else to be. And yeah, I just referenced Freddy Got Fingered. What about it?
Fuck you for doing that.
Yeah. Man, I lost a girl over Freddy Got Fingered. That was our first date, and it was just too awkward.
Yeah, wrong
choice.
You can
only go uphill from there, man.
Yeah, she moved a little bit later after that, but still, it was just too much. I hated that movie so much. Somebody we know, that's one of their favorite movies. I remember reading that when I was MySpace stalking one day, and I kind of made a note to myself to kind of cut ties with that person, and now I've forgotten who it is. It may be you.
It's not me.
Okay, good. Where was I? Crude for crude's sake. It is not. It's crude in parody of the studio system screenplay, and that's what is so great about it.
Yep.
And when it's fucking hilarious. So if you haven't read Balls Out yet and you have no sense of morals, if nothing offends you, and it was kind of weird. The couple podcasts before we even heard of Balls Out, you and I were talking about our sense of humor, how nothing offends us.
I know.
And then this little gift from God drops, and it's like, we'll test that.
Thank you, Robotard 8000.
You say thank you, but yet you're going around the internet playing Sherlock www.com Holmes and telling everybody who it is. What gives? You either love the Robotard or like it's your mission to destroy their facade.
I'm not trying to destroy the facade. I
really?
Just want to
Are you
know.
Sure?
Yeah.
You're posting screen caps on Done Deal.
So if it's Tim Talbot, why is he hiding? He's done some South Park episodes. I mean, it's not like it's any worse than doing two seasons of South Park.
What episodes did he do? Do you remember any?
He did the ones at the end of season 5 and the ones towards the beginning of season 6, which are Simpsons Already Did It and Bebe's Boobs Destroy Society, which is one of my favorites, the 2001 reference with the boys.
Where
they're all monkeys.
Oh, yeah. That is a great episode.
And then Professor Chaos, which was right after Simpsons did it.
So he created Professor Chaos?
I mean,
is that what you're saying?
I don't. He was staff writer. So, I mean, you
because
obviously can't give credit to
if
anyone.
If he created Professor Chaos, that man can do no wrong.
You're right.
General Disarray has to be one of the greatest evil names ever, too.
General Disarray, yeah.
But, I mean, I guess he was around for Butters and everything, because then season 5 is when Butters... He might be your biggest hero of all time, Adam, because Butters is by far and away your favorite character.
I love Butters so much.
So, I mean, he might.
Well, hamburgers. I love Butters. Okay, so I've gotten to the habit of giving a number ranking to these scripts, and I'm going to do so now.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to give it an 11 out of 10.
This one does go to 11.
This one goes to 11.
Chris?
8.9.
Wow, Metacritic.
It's not Schindler's List. it's not perfect. It's original. In its unoriginal format, it's because it just takes that.
Yeah.
And just says, you know, a big fuck you to that. That makes it original. I like that. And it's also hilarious. So what do you think? If you had to throw a number out there to it?
A number?
An arbitrary number you had to...
I'd give it like an 8 or 8.5. As much as I loved it, it did kind of lose me towards then. But I kept reading just because it was so funny.
Yeah.
But I mean, when... You know, I don't even need to talk about how it was losing me because I just stayed with it. It hooked me in. It's not like I wasn't hooked into the story and, you know, laughing my ass off at it. But it's not a perfect screenplay, but it's great.
No, it is great. They have it for download. And you know what? That's kind of neat, too.
It is. That they're just giving it out.
Just going to the masses.
Yep.
So.
Kudos for them. Now give out the first draft, assholes.
Yeah. Give us. Why'd you call him an asshole?
Dude, I don't give a fuck. I read the script. Get over it. I'm moving on. And with that, let's go on to Green Bird.
Let's move on to a very similar script now. Noah Baumbach, Green Bird, just dropped this past week.
Yep.
It's highly anticipated, would you say? It came out?
I was psyched to see it. I couldn't wait.
I don't know, maybe mildly anticipated, but this is his third screenplay, fourth screenplay.
He's done other stuff before Squid and the Whale.
Well, he co-wrote Steve Zissou, as we've covered the last time Chris was with
He's got
us.
That Kicking and Screaming.
Oh, yeah,
movie.
That Kicking and Screaming movie. That's older.
Yeah, and I think he's actually got some other stuff, too.
So, ever since The Squid and the Whale, which is one of my favorite movies, I don't know how you two feel about it.
I love it.
Chris?
Oh, I'm a big fan, yeah. I love that movie.
That movie definitely had a flavor of something that he lived through. Like, you could, like, watching that movie, I'm like, the writer, this was his life, and that may not be true, but it definitely felt like that. But with Greenberg and Margot at the Wedding, it felt like taking that same tone and putting it to a fictional situation, and it really didn't grab me as much as The Squid and the Whale did.
No.
And, I mean, Margot was really flat.
Margot was flat. And maybe we just connected with Squid and the Whale with that kind of coming-of-age thing.
Yeah.
Neither of those two movies have that.
No. And
I mean, Margot is about the woman going to her sister's wedding and the family dysfunction. And this is Greenberg with
a little bit more of a... I guess it's a guy battling with the fact that he is now... He can't even... He's old enough where he can no longer... He can pretend that he's young, and he's coming to grips with that.
Yeah.
And I am still in the delusional stage of my youth, so I'm really having a hard time kind of connecting with that character. And that's my main complaint about Greenberg. Yeah, Noah Baumbach, he can write characters better than probably anybody. He can... His dialogue... I mean, he's not dialogue-intensive by any means, but his words are very meaningful, and what's in there shows a lot, and I appreciate that. I think he's a great writer. But having said that, I really didn't care about any of the characters in this movie. Like, I couldn't connect. Like, everyone, it felt like there was this film or this, like, screen between me and being able to, like, get into that world.
Yeah. And that's the way it is.
Like, there's the disconnect. And that's something that actually exists in The Squid and the Whale and existed in Margot. But with Squid and the Whale, I mean, I could feel a little bit more. And I don't know. I think, well, I mean, like, go back to Steve Zissou. He co-wrote that, obviously, with Wes Anderson. I think that helped him tremendously because he was able to temper kind of that depressing tone that he likes to put on characters with some comedy, and Wes Anderson kind of brings that.
Yeah.
Whereas when Noah Baumbach's by himself, it is...
It's depressing.
It's on the path to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but having said that, I thought it was a decent story, but I was having a hard time connecting, so you guys can rattle on now.
I mean, it is decent. It's definitely a one-two character thing. None of his friends mattered at all on that script. And I mean, he does just leave his friend, basically. Or, I mean, they're basically not friends anymore by the end of it.
There's no real resolution there with the character of Ivan, is there?
No, and that's... I think it's supposed to be that way, where it's just like they've grown apart, and it's more than obvious because he's selfish. And, I mean, that's... That is the script. I mean, Greenberg being selfish and honest. And, I mean, that's what you get out of Noah Baumbach, though. I mean, it is the Jeff Daniels character from Squid and the Whale, to an extent. The way he still tries to get with the young girls and doesn't seem like he's quite let go of his youth yet. And that's what Greenberg's doing, is trying to let go of his youth.
What do you think of it, Chris?
I definitely agree with everything you guys are saying. I mean, it definitely didn't touch me or grab me, or really, I didn't connect with it at all. Like, with The Squid and the Whale, I mean, there's at least, you kind of look for something that draws you into a movie, you know, or something that's shocking, at least, something that you remember, you know. And definitely with The Squid and the Whale, the thing I remember the most is the kid masturbating, like, in the halls, in the lockers, you know. Like, that's something that's like, it just, wait, Okay, and now I'm just playing back in my head what I just said.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. I've already got like the hotline number halfway dialed.
Yeah, it's okay. But anyway,
literally,
that's something that kind of you remember. You know, it's powerful. It's something that that says a lot, has a lot of meaning behind me. You know, and I definitely didn't find anything like that in this script. You know, there wasn't really anything that you could care about or really that drew you into it.
I can understand that. And you, when you were talking about the Squid and the Whale, it brought up something else. There are four characters that kind of have an arc in Squid and the Whale. They're the family. Each person had changes in some way,
yeah.
Whether it be Jeff Daniels or Laura Linney or Jesse Eisenberg or whoever the hell plays the little brother.
Little Culkin.
Oh, is it a Culkin?
I'm pretty sure it's a Culkin.
God, do they just keep making those?
Yeah, they do.
Man, there are Culkins all over the place. Anyway, whereas with this one, it's called Greenberg, so obviously it's going to focus on the character Greenberg, who's going to be played by
Ben Stiller,
which that's a whole other issue I'll get into. It's solely focused on him. If there's an arc, if there is one, is there one? I mean, does at the end does he? I guess he accepts that girl, but
it's minimal. It's like he's accepting
himself more
okay. than anything. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not looking for, at the end of it, to have this long speech where he's going to change his life forever and everything's better now. I don't want that. That would be cheap. But still, give me something. The biggest action in that movie was the dog being sick.
That is. I mean,
that's the biggest arc of the film is the dog getting sick and getting better.
Didn't they already do that in Marley and Me? So, I mean.
Did you see that?
Fuck no, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, so I don't know.
Dog totally dies, man.
I know that, but I mean, I don't...
Totally.
I think it's of old age, though. I mean...
Oh. Would it be great if, like, Marley and Me, like, the whole thing, and then you think it's going to die of old age, and it runs across the street and gets hit by, like, a truck or something, and then just credits roll.
Yeah.
If the guy that directed Final Destination was doing that movie, he would totally do that.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it would be better if their neighbor put on four layers of clothes and went over and fought it.
Yeah, and killed it. And got it with
a barbecue
fork.
Yeah. That would be better. But there's not much conflict. I mean, but like I said, there's really two characters in the script. I mean,
yeah, we didn't even really talk about the girl, the younger girl that is going to be played by, I don't remember her name.
It's Greta something. It's the blonde girl from Baghead, which is a good movie. I recommend it.
You know what? You know, we were giving shit to Cabin in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Was that last week?
Yeah.
Oh. Feels longer than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Baghead's kind of that.
Baghead is...
It's like Cabin in the Woods, except it's not as...
pretentious?
No, it's not. They don't make it obvious that it's being filmed by a crew until the very end.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, it is Cabin in the Woods. I mean, at the end...
That's a genre-mixing horror film that... Cabin in the Woods wants to be. So if you really want to see a movie like that, just go watch Baghead. It's a good independent film.
It is. It's good.
And it's
good mumblecore. I guess you can get a taste of what'll be in store for Greenberg because one of the guys that Roan directed it, one of the Duplass brothers is going to act in Greenberg, and then the blonde girl from Baghead's going to be the lead in it.
Yeah. So, and she doesn't really arc too much. That character.
No.
And Greenberg, the character she plays. So really she just...
I wouldn't say she changes at all.
Yeah.
I mean, she's the same at the beginning as she is.
She's an interesting character, I think.
She is.
But I'm not really attached to her by any means.
No.
So. And I don't know.
Chris, are we missing it? Is there an arc or something that we missed there?
Not anything that I found. I mean, I read it a couple nights ago, and I don't remember much about it, if that says anything. I mean, it just... There wasn't anything that...
But yeah, you were probably fall down drunk, though.
Not fall down.
Define fall down.
I could still keep my balance. I mean, I was sitting on a couch, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think I read it 2 days ago, too. And
I read it this morning at work, and because that's what I get paid to do.
I mean, talking about scenes that just come out of nowhere, what's the deal with that party just showing up?
Those kids,
yeah,
at near the end,
yeah. I mean, that just appears out of nowhere.
A bunch of
20-year-olds at a party.
I tell you what appears out of nowhere when he decides to go to Australia there for about 3 pages, and you're just like, "What?
Yeah,
Noah, what are you doing to me? Where are we going?" And then he decides, "Oh, what? What am I doing?"
Yeah, so, it's like we had to create conflict yet in order for him to see that he wants to be with a girl.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh shit.
You said it really well before. It's like he went out of his way to create something to where he had to decide to be with her.
Yeah. When he didn't need to.
Yeah.
The character set up all along to be where all he had to do was say, you know.
To make that commitment
yeah,
with her.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it really kind of rang false to me.
I agree.
And you think, is he directing it as well? I'm sure he is.
He is. Which, I mean, that's... I can't... Did he direct Squid and the Whale? I think he did.
Oh, yeah.
I think,
yeah. And he directed Marco, didn't he?
I know. And that's one thing that's bothering me, and I guess we can talk about it since we're getting into Ben Stiller, is that he's got these people that really want to be in his movies now. I mean, he had Jack Black and Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd they see in the script? I mean, I read the Margot script before I saw the movie, and then I watched that movie, and God, it was just as bad.
But there is depth to that dialogue. The words that they say, I mean, it has meaning. It's not just... When someone feels mad, it's like, I feel mad at you. And the person, you know, he emotes well. Like,
yeah, I know.
In a realistic way. But then he does that for 125 pages.
Yeah.
And you got to have a little, you know, you have to have a little candy, a little sugar to go with, you know, all that heavy stuff.
Exactly.
And
I mean, right now, after reading this and seeing that Ben Stiller's attached, it's just like, I have to show people that I can act.
And I think Ben Stiller will lend a little air, you know, a little, maybe make that character a little bit lighter, maybe a little bit funnier. Those letters he writes,
I think
he complains,
so too. Yeah.
Maybe that might actually be a funny part instead of kind of sad and depressing as it came off in the screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
So that might help. But then again, Jack Black was in Margo, and it really didn't help that much.
Not much, but I mean, he wasn't much of a main character
That's
like
true.
Greenberg is. He
That's
was real
true.
Minor.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think if you like your scripts high-minded... Go for it. I give it a 5.
I was going to give it a 5 as well.
Chris is going to give it a 5 too.
You're exactly right.
Not,
you
not a 5-2, not like 52, like a 5 as well.
Right. It's so middle of the road. I mean, like you said, if you like that high-minded kind of stuff, then go ahead and read it. But
I mean,
it's
just
average.
Falls out
highly
lot,
average.
So you know I'm not going to like it that much. He focuses a lot on the nuance. And then it becomes all nuance.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if that's possible, but I said it anyway.
Too much nuance.
Too much nuance. Yes.
Why does Noah always have to make sex scenes the most awkward things in a movie?
Well, I mean, anything that is deeply personal or should, you know, to a level where you have to trust someone else, he creates an awkward moment there. Because the characters don't trust anybody, including themselves. And that's a theme in all of his movies.
I know.
Where if anything becomes where we have to let someone in or something like that, he has to create an awkward situation because these characters are so flawed. Every character he writes is flawed. There's no cardboard characters.
No,
it's all
no.
flawed characters.
I mean, I guess when it comes to Noah Baumbach, I just want him to do something different. I mean, on his own. Because he's writing with Wes, and it seems like everything they write together is totally different.
Yeah.
But then whenever he writes alone, it just seems like we get the same thing, just kind of
like a good
in a different setting.
A character study about something. Like, I want, what are you saying? Like, you want Noah Baumbach to write a good, you know?
Kind of like Sammy Hagar.
I'm listening.
So, you know, he makes one kind of music with Van Halen, and then he goes off and does his own thing. And it's, you know, something that's a lot better. I don't know. That really just didn't work at all, did it?
What beer are you on?
It's still middle of life.
Go ahead and switch.
I kind of get what I see what you're saying.
I mean, you could say that
a lot of
people.
It sounded better to my head.
I'm going to make this epic Sammy Hagar reference that's going to blow the doors right off this podcast.
And now you're just going to have to edit it out.
Oh, no, sir. Oh, no. Everyone's going to know about your Van Hagar. Oh, yeah, we were talking about earlier before the podcast about how Fast and Furious made $56 million this weekend.
And we all decided to say, fuck that.
Yeah. Fuck that. Fuck Vin Diesel. Monsters and Aliens, number 2. Adventureland.
Adventureland fell to, like, number 6, I think, which someone called that on the board. I think it was Jawbreaker. So, go, buddy. I mean,
yeah.
Good work.
Well,
which it didn't open in as many theaters as any of the other movies, I don't think, but...
Which is surprising. I thought it was going to be like, you know, this.
I know. I thought they were pushing
teen comedy that they were pushing, and then advertising fell off, and then, or you know, it's not even playing near here. Oh, well. It must not have been too great. Somebody hated it. Chris, you hated it?
Chris hated it. Chris wasn't here last week.
You were here last week. I just, real quick, what did you think of Adventureland?
I didn't like it at all. I just thought it was another kind of thing where they have a package that works really well together. You know, it's all the kind of the same actors and stuff, and they just kind of manufacturing another script just in a different setting. You know, like, okay, let's put him in a silly carnival land. You know, that'd be the thing that's going to, you know, set everything apart.
Yeah, you made a good point, or you heard a good point, where that it did not take advantage of the fact it was at a
theme park
at all. It could have been set anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, you set his job anywhere during that summer, and it can happen. I mean, he could have three kids chasing him anywhere, and a manager could chase him out with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to happen in a theme park.
There's very little adventure in Adventureland.
That's the funny thing about it, is in the script, every time they're at the theme park, he makes sure to specify what ride they're working at. Like, it would really matter. And there's only that one time it matters. When it actually
when
plays.
At the one game.
Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, he doesn't even need to specify. Whatever. I mean, I think.
Yeah, we already talked about it. And, yeah, it's going to fall off the earth pretty quickly, apparently. Oh, well. So, we got 11 for me is Balls Out, Read It. Read It Now, Read It Long, Read It Hard. And I gave Greenberg a 5, which it deserves more, but I just can't give it more.
I think on film it might play better, but at the same time I said that about Margo and it didn't. So.
Yeah, because when the Margo came out, you read that pretty quickly and you kind of amped for it.
I know, I really liked Noah Baumbach. I mean, I guess I should say I really liked Noah Baumbach because he's yet to prove himself to me to stay on that level.
Yeah, so... So if you're looking for something to read, that's just a good laugh. Download Balls Out from the Robotard, aka Tim Talbot and company. I think we kind of made this a short one today.
I know. I had something I was going to talk about that I read online earlier. Now I can't even remember what it was.
Really?
Yeah. I actually updated my status on Facebook today. That was the first time in a long time.
Yeah, it was it was the Facebook equivalent of kids get off my lawn.
Yeah, it was. Dude, it's pissing me off. Every time I get on there, I have like 14 requests to go find Easter eggs and shit. I mean, get over it, people. It's fucking Facebook. I mean, you're just proving to me that that's all you do all day is sit on Facebook. Because my whole fucking Facebook feed is such and such found an Easter egg on someone else's Facebook.
You're pretty angry right now.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm angry because I don't have that much time to spend in my day.
I hate technology.
Chris, did you ever see Watchmen?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Per your recommendation.
Well, good job.
Because, you owe us $8.
Yeah. We'll split it, and then it won't be as tough on us. Apparently, me and Adam aren't the only ones that hated Watchmen. I know Pitch Patch PM'd me and said he hated it, but apparently, I don't know if it was last night or over the weekend, but a guy up in Oregon shot himself during a screening of The Watchmen, a midnight showing. 24-year-old, yeah. Straight up blasting himself in the back corner. There was only like 10 other people in the audience, and I guess they told a manager that they heard a pop up there or something. There was a noise.
The dude just saw too many blue cocks. He just couldn't take it anymore. It was like the rite of spring, you know, like people were just going insane.
He was probably in the closet, and then he went and saw that, and maybe he's born again. He was trying to get over that, went and watched Watchmen. All came back.
Just flooding home. I knew it was a bad movie. I didn't realize it was something I thought about killing myself through halfway through The Watchmen. So, I mean, really, I guess this guy's just proactive.
I know. But, I mean, everyone that was there when he killed himself, they got their ticket refunded, which I would like that. I mean...
Hold on. So is that like a standing rule now? If someone commits suicide in the movie you're watching,
that's what
you get another movie
that's
ticket?
That's what I mean. Like,
and you get straight A's. Dude, this is getting more and more lucrative.
Suicide is, I think,
that's an untapped market right there.
Yeah. I think we've already talked about the screenplays and we've bullshitted enough. Anything else you want to finish with?
No. I'm just happy to finish like always.
You're just happy to finish like always. That's what your girlfriend tells me.
It is.
So,
are we done yet?
Chris, thanks for joining us again. Your insights were helpful.
Pleasure, gentlemen, as always.
All right, man, we'll talk to you later. I'm sure we'll have you back at some point. That's it for me. What are we doing next week? You know? You don't even
know. You know what? I'll say we're going to do roundtable again, since I said it last week. And then if we do it, we do it.
And if not?
If not, who knows?
Yeah.
I'm kind of trying to buy a house, so who knows if we'll actually do one next week.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal in life, you know, buying a house.
Like, who knows, we'll have time if I actually get a house and have to move.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're totally helping. Oh. I moved half the shit into this apartment.
You did not move half the shit into this apartment. You moved 38%.
Yeah. That 38% was all the heavy shit.
Well, I didn't weight it by weight.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to everybody later. Chris, thanks again. And thanks for listening to the podcast. Download us on iTunes. And
you can comment on the chat box on the site. And you can email us at podcast@pdfscreenplays.com.
What the fuck is the internet?